The surf crashed and eddied. There was a moon and low torn clouds moving fast. The horizon was immense and black. The air was cold. I twisted up and back and picked out my room's window way above me.
Bullet,
Duke said. I turned back and passed it to him.
Watch, he said.
He loaded it into the Colt, jerked his hand to snap the cylinder shut, squinted in the moonlit grayness, and clicked the cylinder around until the loaded chamber was at the 10 o'clock position.
Watch, he said again.
He pointed the gun with his arm straight, aiming just below horizontal at the flat granite tables where they met the sea. He pulled the trigger. The cylinder turned and the hammer dropped and the gun kicked and flashed and roared. There was a simultaneous spark on the rocks and an unmistakable metallic whang of a ricochet. It feathered away to silence. The bullet probably skipped 100 yards out into the Atlantic. Maybe it killed a fish.
It wasn't a fake, he said. I'm fast enough.
Okay, I said. He opened the cylinder and shook the empty shell case out. It clinked on the rocks by his feet.
You're an asshole, he said. An asshole cop killer.
Were you a cop?
He nodded.
Once upon a time.
Is Duke your first name or your last?
Last. Why does a rug importer need armed security?
Like he told you, it's a rough business. There's a lot of money in it.
You really want me here?
He shrugged.
I might. If somebody's sniffing around, we might need some cannon fodder. Better you than me.
I saved the kid.
So what? Get in line. We've all saved the kid one time or another. Or Mrs. Beck, or Mr. Beck himself.
How many guys have you got?
Not enough. Not if we're under attack.
What is this, a war?
He didn't answer. Just walked past me toward the house. I turned my back on the restless ocean and followed him. There was nothing doing in the kitchen. The mechanic had disappeared, and the cook and the maid were stacking dishes into a machine large enough to do duty in a restaurant. The maid was all fingers and thumbs. She didn't know what went where. I looked around for coffee. There still wasn't any. Duke sat down again at the empty deal table. There was no activity, no urgency. I was aware of time slipping away. I didn't trust Susan Duffy's estimate of 5 days' grace. 5 days is a long time when you're guarding two healthy individuals off the books. I would have been happier if she had said 3 days. I would have been more impressed by her sense of realism.
Go to bed, Duke said. You'll be on duty as of 6:30 in the morning.
Doing what?
Doing whatever I tell you.
Is my door going to be locked?
Count on it. I'll unlock it at 6:15. Be down here by 6:30.
I waited on my bed until I heard him come up after me and lock the door. Then I waited some more until I was sure he wasn't coming back. Then I took my shoe off and checked for messages. The little device powered up, and the tiny green screen was filled with a cheerful, italic announcement. You've got mail. There was one item only. It was from Susan Duffy. It was a one-word question. Location? I hit reply and typed, Abbott, Maine, coast, 20 miles south of Portland, lone house on Long Rock Finger. That would have to do. I didn't have a mailing address or exact GPS coordinates. But she should be able to pin it down if she spent some time with a large-scale map of the area. I hit send now. Then I stared at the screen. I wasn't entirely sure how email worked. Was it instantaneous communication, like a phone call? Or would my reply wait somewhere in limbo before it got to her? I assumed she would be watching for it. I assumed she and Elliot would be spelling each other around the clock. 90 seconds later, the screen announced, You got mail again. I smiled. This might work. This time her message was longer. Only 21 words, but I had to scroll down the tiny screen to read it all. It said, We'll work the maps, thanks. Prince show two bodyguards in our custody, our ex-army. All under control here. You? Progress? I hit reply and typed, hired, probably. Then I thought for a second and pictured Quinn and Teresa Daniel in my mind and added, otherwise no progress yet. Then I thought some more and typed, re two bodyguards, ask M.P. Powell, quote, 10:29, 10:30, 10:24, 10:36, unquote, from me specifically. Then I hit send now. I watched the machine announce, your message has been sent, and looked away at the darkness outside the window and hoped Powell's generation still spoke the same language mine did. 10:29, 10:30, 10:24, and 10:36 were four standard military police radio codes that meant nothing much in themselves. 10:29 stood for weak signal. It was a procedural complaint about failing equipment. 10:30 meant, I am requesting non-emergency assistance. 10:24 meant, suspicious person. 10:36 meant, please forward my messages. The 10:30 non-emergency call meant the whole string would attract no attention from anybody. It would be recorded and filed somewhere and ignored for the rest of history. But taken together, the string was a kind of underground jargon. At least it used to be, way back when I was in uniform. The weak signal part meant keep this quiet and under the radar. The request for non-emergency assistance backed it up. Keep this away from the hot files. Suspicious person was self-explanatory. Please forward my messages meant put me in the loop. So if Powell was on the ball, he would understand the whole thing to mean, check these guys out on the quiet and give me the skinny. And I hoped he was on the ball, because he owed me. He owed me big time. He had sold me out. My guess was he would be looking for ways to make it up to me. I looked back at the tiny screen. You've got mail. It was Duffy saying, okay, be fast. I replied, trying, and switched off and nailed the device back into the heel of my shoe. Then I checked the window. It was a standard two-part sliding thing. The bottom casement would slide upward in front of the top casement. There was no insect screen. The paint on the inside was thin and neat. The paint on the outside was thick and sloppy from where it had been continually redone to beat the climate. There was a brass catch. It was an ancient thing. There was no modern security. I slipped the catch and pushed the window up. It caught on the thick paint, but it moved. I got it open about 5 inches and cold sea air blew in on me. I bent down and looked for alarm pads. There weren't any. I heaved it all the way up and examined the whole of the frame. There was no sign of any security system at all. It was understandable. The window was 50 feet up above the rocks and the ocean, and the house itself was unreachable because of the high wall and the water. I leaned out the window and looked down. I could see where I had been standing when Duke fired the bullet. I stayed half in and half out of the window for about 5 minutes, leaning on my elbows, staring at the black ocean, smelling the salt air, and thinking about the bullet. I had pulled the trigger 6 times. It would have made a hell of a mess. My head would have exploded. The rugs would have been ruined, and the oak paneling would have splintered. I yawned. The thinking and the sea air were making me sleepy. I ducked back inside and slammed the casement down and went to bed.